At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yo, welcome into the House of L podcast. I'm Lawrence Holmes. Thanks so much for hanging out. I mean, since there was a Bears game, I figured we'd talk Bears, right? Luckily, we have the opportunity to talk with Chris Emma about the Bears. He was there. He covered the Bears-Bengals game, and there's a lot to be interested in this one. So I'm looking forward to our conversation. So let's get right to it. That was a very interesting first half of Bears football on Saturday. Yeah. I want to know how you're working through what we saw, because I think there were three spectacular plays by Caleb Williams, and there were also three and outs. So what did you take away from it?
I mean, look, I think you got the full experience of a rookie quarterback, right? And a very talented one at that. You're going to have those three and outs. It's unfortunate it comes right out of the gates with the home debut in the preseason. Granted, it is still the preseason, but there was such an anticipation to see Caleb Williams. That was a great crowd for a preseason game, and so many people excited to see 18 out there on the field, and it looks so unfortunately familiar to Bears fans seeing scuffling offense. You go 0-3 right out of the gates on that first drive. You got an intentional grounding. Tons of sloppiness offensively around Caleb Williams as well. But then it all clicked, man. That fifth drive, I don't think Matt Eberflus had any intention of playing Caleb Williams deep in the second quarter and playing a fifth series, but it was necessitated by the way that went. And he looked incredible with some of those plays, like you mentioned. Those three throws, those three plays, you're right. I mean, that throw to Roma Dunze, that's just talent on display. Like, the ability to get out to your left, throw across your body, hit him in stride, 43 yards. That's an incredible throw. Then, to your point as well, you know, extending that play to the right. Rome, I don't even blame him for that, the situational awareness. Like, fill in the end zone. Come on, let's get this thing as game-like as possible. It's kind of funny that I was actually paying attention to it later in other preseason games I was watching, and I thought every end zone had the full white filled out in the back line where you can see if you're in or out of bounds. Funny moment there, rookie mistake. He'll be fine with that. And then the touchdown run. I mean, extending the play once again, talent taking over. He was looking to throw. Like, that's what I like about that. He was looking to throw until he realized, I can just get home and run it myself. Like, you just saw comfort out there. You saw confidence. You saw just raw talent on display, and it was a really impressive showing on that last drive.
And during the game, I heard Ryan Poles talk about it being choppy. That was the word that he used for what we saw early on. And then Cole Kmet was being interviewed during the game, and he mentioned that, you know, it didn't look right the way that the offense started the game. When you were in post, what did some of the Bears people say about why we saw it look so bad, especially considering that a couple days before, the Bears offense had looked really good against the first Bengals defense?
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think anybody in that locker room was surprised that it was a little choppy. It's been choppy in practice. There's been a lot of days out there where we sit out there in practice and like, oh, it just got a long way to go. And there are those moments, you're right. I mean, there's still plenty of spectacular plays like that in practice too. Some great throws that we've seen. decision making, everything you want to see of a young quarterback. Like, there's been a lot of that, but there's been more days than not where it's been choppy. The entire offense, not just Caleb, but I think it's kind of funny that they went out there against the Bills and lit it up on that drive. And then, yeah, they won the day against the Bengals on Thursday in those joint practices where it is ones against ones. It's all part of the experience at this point. It's a young quarterback. Yeah, I know he's incredibly talented. There's high hopes. There's a great conviction that he can be that guy in Chicago, but it's going to take some time to really be a smooth operation. It's not there yet. It's not going to be there till probably midseason, frankly. Like, just temper the expectations a little bit. He's got all the talent in the world. He's got a great head on his shoulders. He's going to keep working to get to that point. But this is just a natural progression that happens for any rookie quarterback. And there's going to be good days and bad going forward. It's going to be like that early on in the season. And we'll see how it plays out. But fortunately for Caleb and fortunately for the Bears, got a lot of talent all around this roster. You got a defense that looks really impressive so far. And you're going to be able to win games because of that, even if your quarterback and your offense is not quite there yet.
I thought that it was really important, and you brought it up, that the Bears decided, you know what, we're going to work through this. This first team offense is going to go back out there, and they're going to work through it. I think there's a lot of positives to take from that, including the head coach recognizing that there was an opportunity for learning and growth that in the first 2 years of Matt Eberflus, I'm not sure he would have taken. It felt like a really smart move to leave the offense out there to work through the problems, and then everyone got the special stuff from Caleb Williams, and you end up feeling a lot better than if it would have just ended after four series and they said, you know what, let's just take a seat and get ready for the regular season.
Yeah, and look, these are valuable experiences for Caleb Williams, for a young quarterback, and for a young offense. I mean, you look at this whole group, like, to get out there on that stage in Soldier Field for the first time in this preseason and just run the operation, run everything you've been doing over and over and over again in practice, and get it right. I like the fact that they kept them out there. I don't think there was any intention to when you're thinking, you know, they script these things based on plays. It's not about possessions or it's not about time or quarters. They ran 21 plays on offense. And I think that was ultimately around that goal. That was what they were looking for. They certainly didn't want to make it take five series to get to that point. But I like the fact that Matt Eberflus did keep him out there. And you're saying, you know, go out there and show something. Lead this offense. Get these guys together. Get it right. There's a leadership aspect that goes with it, too. You know, teammates are looking to their quarterback in those spots. Talking to guys in that locker room, I mean, Caleb is like that leader. I don't know if he's going to get that C on his chest as a rookie. I think that'd be, I don't know. We'll see. They certainly see him as a guy that they're looking to in those spots. And, man, when you're going three and out early on, these guys on offense are looking at their quarterback. Even if he's 22 years old doing this for the first time, like, that's the guy they're turning to, and Caleb's got a great way about him to lead these guys forward.
When you start looking at the amount of days there are between now and opening day, it does make me wonder what they'll do with that fourth preseason game, because ordinarily you think that maybe they're just going to, like, shut it down. What do you think the Bears are going to do here? It's like, what, 20 days between Saturday and the opener?
Yeah, I think they're not going to play on Thursday night. I'm looking at my calendar right here to my left, and initially Wednesday was an off day of practice, and all of a sudden now they're practicing on Wednesday. They're going to work out on Wednesday morning. It's a three-day work week instead of a two-day work week. That tells me the starters are not going to be playing on Thursday night. I think they feel good where they left off. I think especially from the Caleb side is ending Saturday with a high note, with a touchdown, capping off those early struggles with some successes out there. Now you build on that in practice. You got 3 weeks to go. The way these things are kind of scripted, you do game week simulations here toward the end of the training camp. So this will be a kind of an abbreviated game week simulation with a preseason game on Thursday night. Next week will be true week one simulation, and you go everything about it as you would a normal game week, and then soon enough you're going to be into the real week one. So I think they're pleased with the way they got this thing scripted, and I think they believe in that plan.
While we spent a lot of time talking about the offense, and obviously that's something that people are interested in with Caleb, I think the defense has played really well so far in the preseason. What have you thought of how they've played?
I think Logan Woodside's like, why the hell are they blitzing Kyler Gordon on me right now in a preseason game? I'm like, gosh. It's like, that was poor guy. He didn't see that one. Clearly he didn't see that one coming. Yeah, I love it, man. Eberflus was dialing it up. Like, you don't see that kind of aggressiveness in a preseason game, but I don't know what the intent was other than we're just going to get after it. I don't really care at this point. And look, this defense looks really good. They frustrated Joe Burrow and those Bengals on Thursday in practice. Three takeaways. Kevin Byard came right to that podium after practice. Like, yeah, man, we got our three takeaways. We feel really good about the way we practiced out there. There's a continuity aspect that they did not have early on last season. And this defense finished the year strong, but they got picked apart, man, early in that year. They just did not have it. They were not meshed. They had so many injuries throughout the course of training camp in 23 where it just wasn't working right away. They still have had some injuries. They've had some injuries in the secondary, but this group seems a lot more connected. They're playing well together. They are firing. I love what I mentioned Kyler Gordon. I'm going to go back to it. Like, I love what I saw of him. That's a third-year guy who seems extremely comfortable and confident in his abilities out there in that nickel position, which we know the value of that now. The nickel defense is base defense in the NFL these days. He's a really important piece. That was the first draft pick Ryan Poles made, and he didn't draft Kyler Gordon to be an outside corner. He drafted him to be the nickel, valuing that spot. So I think he's the guy, when you talk about breakout candidates, somebody who can have a really big season, like, you're getting a glimpse of what Kyler Gordon can be this year.
I am so happy that Badlands Pet Superfood Complete is back on House of L. So I don't have a dog, but I have a friend who has a dog, and that dog has kind of become my best friend. His name is Pudge. He's adorable. He's a Morkie, a Maltese Yorkie mix. So I said, I want to bring over Badlands Pets Superfood Complete and have Pudge try it. And if he liked it, then we were going to stick with Badlands Pets and keep it going. He loved it. We mixed it with a little bit of water. He's a teeny tiny guy, 7 pounds. We mixed it with a little bit of water and he absolutely loved it. And now when it's mixed with his other foods, he sifts through that to get to Badlands Pets Superfood Complete. Between that and the mission that Katherine Heigl has been on, I feel like it's a company that House of L should be partnered with for a long time. And you're going to be the beneficiary of this. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Loho. I'll say it again. BadlandsRanch.com/Loho. And if you order right now, we're going to give you 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things just like my guy Pudge did, go to BadlandsRanch.com/Loho. BadlandsRanch.com/Loho. We're going to give you 50% off. Pudge is going to be happy. You're going to be happy. Your doggo is going to be happy. We're happy that Badlands Ranch is back with House of L, and we hope that you benefit from it and your doggo loves it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Capital Ideas podcast now features a series hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover what differentiates their investment approach, what learnings have shifted their career trajectories, and how do they find their next great idea? Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
Okay, so there's 20 days between the starters playing and them opening up the season. Who has an opportunity in these practices to win a spot on a roster or, in your opinion, win a promotion to more playing time?
Man, it's a good question. Yeah, I know there's been a lot of eyes on Bayless Jones so far, and that's kind of one that you point to right away. I'm going to go a different direction here. Karan Amagaji was just activated off the non-football injury list. This is a third-round pick. This is a guy they really like and believe in here. I don't know if there's a spot necessarily for him right away, but, like, they see this guy is ready to take on a big role eventually. And we'll see. He's going to get an opportunity once he gets kind of ramped up. I don't think it'll be this week, but maybe going into next week. It's probably too late for him, but he's somebody who could play a role on that offensive line. Maybe he's your swing tackle initially, but maybe he is competing with a guy like Braxton Jones ultimately at left tackle. We'll see about that. I'm not quite there yet, but that's the guy I'm keeping my eye on now that he's healthy. Khalil Herbert has really fascinated me as well. And I'm still not quite clear why DeAndre Swift was not available yesterday. Khalil Herbert is somebody who I thought going into camp might be on a roster bubble. And not that he doesn't play at a high level. They don't value him, but they saw they could improve. They got DeAndre Swift, and they really believe in him as their lead back. I'm not quite sure how it's going to work for Khalil Herbert, but he's really looked strong so far in camp, and he's taking advantage of his moments out there. So he's somebody – he's not going to be that lead back, but he's fighting back for a spot on this roster, and maybe he's a trade piece too. I wrote about it yesterday at 670thescore.com. Like, he's somebody – teams might value him for a deal. If they're getting him out there, getting him some reps and some opportunities, I'm going to be keeping an eye on that as well.
You mentioned Velus Jones. What's Velus Jones' status right now?
I enjoyed the way that Hard Knocks kind of played him up. They love their sentimental stories, right? They love to get the underdog story of somebody who's fighting for the roster. And then it feels like every time Hard Knocks plays up one of these stories, that guy does not make the roster after all. I don't think Velus Jones has as much of a chance as Hard Knocks even seems to indicate. I don't know if he's competing against the rookie Wheeler. It goes back to what I just said with Khalil Herbert. Like, there's a numbers game in that running back spot, just as there's a wide receiver. And I don't know if he's going to be on this team. I bet against him being on the roster kind of all along. And he's not done much to change that impression for me. Yeah, he's fighting like hell. And he's putting himself in a position where he might make it interesting. But I would bet against him being on this roster for all reasons, for the running back spot. I just don't see him as a natural fit. We know what he is as a wide receiver, and he's been shaky as a returner. So he's a great story, and you're going to see more of him on Hard Knocks, I'm sure, but I just don't see him on this team.
That moment where he doesn't down the ball inbounds in the game, too, you're going, there's an opportunity for you to show up on special teams, and he doesn't. It's just like, the ferret story is hilarious, brother, but I need you to play.
Look, Lawrence, like, if he wasn't a third-round pick to the current general manager, I just don't think he's on this roster. They've given him so many chances. I feel like he's run out of opportunities. He's taken every – now with running back being that last chance for him, he's gotten every opportunity he could. He just hasn't done enough to stick around.
What have you thought about what's happened with Nate Davis and what Nate Davis had to say last week? Is he healthy enough that all of this stuff is going to go away by the time that the season starts? Or did he take what Matt Eberflus say as a legitimate warning about his status?
You know, I'm mad at myself as somebody who was in that press conference asking questions that I didn't follow up on. Nate Davis saying, well, I didn't hear what Matt Eberflus said. I don't listen to outside noise. That was at the damn podium you're standing right at. Like, it doesn't make sense to me that he's saying it. I'm mad at myself for not kind of pressing him more on that. At the same point in time, I don't know, man. I cannot figure this guy out. And I want to be somewhat sensitive in a way because I think there is a lot going on for him. And, you know, we understand what he dealt with last year, losing his mother. There was a lot going on in his life last season that affected him. And he alluded to it, too. He talked about the mental side of the game. He wasn't there last year. It was a really difficult year for him. But it ultimately, look, this is a really tough business, and you're getting paid $30 million. You're getting almost $20 million guaranteed. He was supposed to stabilize this offensive line, and he's just simply not been available. And I think he did get a little bit of the message. He tried to say he didn't hear any of it, but I did not expect him to be out of practice last week, and he was ramping up, and he played in that preseason game, and he's suddenly healthy now, so I don't know. We'll see. I think there's certainly a lot of frustration within the building, the fact that he's not been able to live up to that contract so far, and he's not been able to help this offensive line. But I don't know. Maybe he did get the message after all. He just wasn't really pointing it out. We'll see. I want to see him stay out there healthy, stay out there consistently, get through the early part of the year, be that guy. And maybe he can change the narrative and flip the script and be a stabilizing force for this offensive line. But I think if he didn't have so much money on the table, he would have been long gone.
Emma, as always, man, I appreciate it. You're doing great work. Don't beat yourself up about the not following up. It's preseason for reporters as well.
That's right. I got a fun feature coming up on 670thescore.com. I'm sure we'll talk about it a lot more on air this week. You can share
here. What's the feature on? We want to promote your work.
I've not started it yet, so I'm going to keep that one close to the vest.
Okay.
Out there just in case, but yeah, I'm excited about it.
All right, Emma, be well, sir.
Take care, buddy.
So a big thanks to Emma, as per usual. He's a really great. If you're watching on YouTube, if you've been watching on YouTube, I've gone back to the studio that was, it's not a studio, it's a room, but it's a small room. So I was upset with the way the audio has sounded over the last couple because I've been trying to make the aesthetic for the video better. And I think that the audio suffered, and I'd rather the audio be cleaner, and I'm working on the aesthetic. Like, you'll see, if you go look at the video of this, if you're listening to this and be like, wait, what are you talking about? You'll see that I'm like back in my office, but I've kind of beautified it, but I haven't stopped yet. So there's going to be more stuff. I'm going to even do the kind of cliche hack thing of putting my bobbleheads up. I actually have a bobblehead. The Chicago Fire made me one. I do think that they pretty much made it out of like a Darren Jackson mold, but I'll take it. It has my name on it. So I'm going to put some stuff up in my office. This room has carpet in it. It's very small, so the sound doesn't travel as much. It doesn't bounce as much. So hopefully you are hearing a much better sonic product. I believe in that wholeheartedly. But thank you for listening. This is going to be really interesting to see how... I know that I didn't give a lot of my feelings about the game. Maybe I'll do that in another pod, because I do want to talk about it, but I kind of want to talk about it in bigger picture mode. So we'll do another pod, and there's all sorts of other stuff that's going on that I should probably address at some point. So thank you for your subscription to House of L. What you should do is you should give us a 5-star review. That would be great, because that helps with placement. Tell a friend to tell a friend. I'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.